Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Tim May and Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, football fans of all ages. This is Tim May along with
Bill Rabinowitz.
Bill, 2 days removed from the Ohio State win at Michigan State, I'm not sure that game got its just due in terms of relevance in the national scene, because I was watching a show or listening to a show over the weekend where they were referencing Clemson's great win at Boston College, the way they shut down Boston College's running game, vaunted running game, and won by 20 in a tough situation. And I'm going, Boston College was ranked 17th in the college football playoff rankings a week ago. Ohio State did exactly the same thing and had, including a remarkable game by the punter, Drew Chrisman, but did exactly the same thing, won by 20 at number 18, Michigan State, but this got kind of short shrift. And I think that's unfortunate in this age when, you know, wins on the road against credible opponents should matter greatly.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I watched the game again last night for my little Twitter review, and it was a better performance than I thought it was. I think the perception is based largely on the first half, which was a snooze fest. Let's not kid ourselves. That was painful offensive football. And Michigan State's offense is obviously not very good. They've been decimated by injuries. Their quarterback play is not very good at all. But yes, when I watched it again, I thought that is a very sound defensive performance. They had one big run against them, kind of a fluky play in a way. Quarterback keeper went for 47 yards. Other than that, Michigan State gained 7 yards on the ground. Mike Weber did manage to run for 100 yards against the best run defense in the country. Dwayne Haskins in the passing game wasn't great, but it was okay at times when it needed to be. And so, yeah, overall, I thought it was a very solid win. But I think the perceptions about Ohio State's kind of baked in now that they're an underachieving team and they haven't put all the pieces together. You're starting to see it a little bit.
Yeah, perception is everything, as we all know, and perception is 9/10 of the law, I think is the saying.
Exactly.
No, I just morphed that saying from something else. But the bottom line is people do remember more about the way a game starts than the way a game ends. And, you know, I wrote about it in OSU Insider this morning, and Urban Meyer even touched on it. You know, fourth quarter, they owned the fourth quarter, Ohio State did, and scored, what, 17 points in the fourth quarter, not 17, but whatever. It was 9-6 going into the fourth quarter. So, yeah, they scored 17 points and shut out Michigan State. And not only that, but did it. It was an example of the defense getting better as this season goes on, or suddenly better. And then offensively, the run game is what they really leaned on in the fourth quarter again. And Mike Weber, you know, got the bulk of his yards in the fourth quarter when they needed to run the clock and get things done. If you just go back and just think about that game in your mind, that's exactly what you saw. You know, past that, we all know if Ohio State wins out, it's still going to be in the consideration. The problem is whether it's going to be in the serious consideration for that fourth spot in the CFP. That's kind of like taking into account if everything else kind of finishes the way you think it will. When you're number 10 2 weeks in a row, which they were, they also lost ground in both of the Associated Press poll and the coaches poll this week by teams that beat lesser teams. But the bottom line is they do have their work cut out for them, but it's all moot unless they win out.
Yeah, absolutely. And this week's games against Maryland, which, you know, it's kind of an interesting team in certain ways because they certainly have skill position players. They have a win over Texas, but, you know, in the trenches, Ohio State has dominated them every year, and I'm not sure that has changed. We'll see this year. It's a road game, and Maryland's the one team in the country that's had a more tumultuous offseason than Ohio State. I mean, unfortunately, there's a truly tragic losing an offensive lineman and having a coach obviously get fired after all that. So that's going to be an interesting game in certain ways, and you've talked about this all year, that Maryland was kind of a little bit like Purdue. One of those games you go, well, it's between Michigan State and Michigan, and that could be the team that Ohio State overlooks. Urban Meyer said today he's already had that discussion with his players. They are not going to overlook the Terrapins.
Yeah, the thing about Maryland is they suffered an injury to their starting quarterback again on Saturday. I think he's going to be iffy from what I'm hearing. They did get their running game going to a certain extent with this McFarland kid, but they're not quite the offensive team I thought they would be at this point. Defensively, they're about what I thought they would be at this point, kind of middling. Yeah. I think Ohio State can move the ball on them, depending on weather conditions, et cetera. We'll get into that later in the week, a preview of that game. But, yeah, but this game still falls in what I call that crevice between Michigan State and Michigan, and the overlook factor there, no matter how much you address it, et cetera, is real, because this collision between Ohio State and Michigan, we've seen this on the radar since the season started, and Michigan got its act together, and it's going to be, I don't think, tough for 19, 20, 21-year-olds to overlook totally. But, you know, we'll be back in a moment to talk about that and some other things after this word from our sponsor.
You have to stand behind a statement like, quote, the best buying experience in the business, end quote. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest, you have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is telling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales, through manufacturing, through the installation, and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, quote, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business, end quote.
Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to See the Buckeyes.
With all the hype around it, Ohio State, Michigan, number one versus number two, Troy Smith potentially going to win a Heisman Trophy. It was a 3:30 kickoff, so the second half was under the lights. And the atmosphere in that place, I don't think I've ever seen quite like that.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit BuckeyeExtra.com and click on tickets.
As always, Bill, we appreciate the support from our sponsor, correct?
Yes, we do, Tim.
But bottom line is, I really think the insertion of Brendan White into the Ohio State defensive lineup has paid immediate dividends. He's almost the size of a linebacker, but he's playing with the speed of a really nice safety. He seems very heads up, seems very keen on getting his job done on every play. And I don't think there's any doubt that it has helped the Ohio State defense.
There's no question. When I watched the game again last night, I remarked early on that Michigan State, just their defensive players play so aggressively. They just shoot the gap. And that's the way Brendan White plays. There was a run by Michigan State that was maybe a 6 or 8 yard gain, only because Brendan White did that exactly, shot the gap, beat the guy who was going to block him. If that guy had blocked him, it could have gone a long way. And that's what's been missing from Ohio State. You need assertiveness back there. Your safety, yes, has to be sure-handed and all that, but he also has to be aggressive, and that's what Brendan White has given that secondary.
And you know who else is having a sneakily big-time effective year is Draymond Jones. Obviously, he had that touchdown, interception, and return at TCU a long time ago, but he's made these little plays here and there through the season. And he came up huge on Saturday, I mean, in several different points, not the least of which was jumping on that botched snap situation. Wow, Michigan State's running that play at the goal line. Boy, that just still baffles my mind. They went to empty set, brought a guy in motion to possibly catch a jet sweep handoff, and the ball was snapped a beat late. Hits the guy in motion, falls on the ground, and Draymond Jones wins the battle for it in the end zone for a touchdown. And then later in the fourth quarter, of course, he hits the quarterback and causes the interception that Sean Wade causes the ball to flutter up, and Sean Wade pulls in his interception. But he's just quietly effective, I think, in the middle a lot more than maybe some people are paying attention to. And I think those are some of the things that are kind of coming together for this team, on top of what I spoke about a while ago about the running game getting on track. The running game is not what it was a year ago or 3 years ago, but it has been quietly and increasingly more effective.
Well, you had to think when they went through that month-long swoon where they're averaging 3 yards a carry that they had to get better. There's just no way with the talent on this team that they could keep running for 3 yards.
Let me interject. The ingredients were there. They have a physical offensive line in front of two running backs who both topped 1,000 yards in the season.
The issue, though, and it's going to be an issue, especially against Michigan, I'm not sure how quick this offensive line is. They have trouble with speed rushers, especially on the edge. Again, I don't think it's going to be a big deal with Maryland, but it's going to be a major thing with Michigan. But in terms of the run game, they ought to be able to just plow people because they're an NFL-sized offensive line. And especially the right side, when you get Knox and Prince, get those guys moving forward, you ought to be able to open some holes, and they are. And I really was impressed with the way Weber ran. If there was a crack, he found it, and he was able to spin or shift or whatever. And that's the part of his game that he's really improved.
Yeah, I agree. You know, if he opts to leave after this season, that'll be a video. The fourth quarter against Michigan State will be a video that should help him make some money.
Right.
You know, and then past that, I mean, we also saw finally the insertion of Tate Martell into a critical part of a game. And we haven't seen him even play since the Tulane game. Clearly, they're trying to evolve the offense, incorporate more things. And I thought that was a telling moment when he went in there on first and goal and had that little keeper for 5 yards. Talk about after contact. I mean, he showed you his value there. Any other guy probably would have gone down in the backfield, but he broke a tackle and got from the 6 to the 1 yard line. And, you know, then they put Dwayne Haskins Jr. back in to run more of the conventional offense. And on the third down, he throws a little 1 foot pass to Paris Campbell, who turns it into a 1 yard touchdown pass.
Yes.
And now suddenly, Dwayne Haskins Jr. is just 3 touchdown passes shy of JT Barrett's single season record of 36.
In fairness to Barrett, had a few of those himself.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Just ask Troy Smith.
Yeah, I'd like to know, you know, take out the shovel passes, where do these guys really rank? Probably take away at least, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, eventually they've got to address, in my opinion, in the NCAA, at least, records book or records keeping, shovel passes and screen passes.
Well, you have to throw it overhand.
Yeah. Well, I've never had any problem with a guy that wants to throw the ball 50 yards downfield underhanded, you know, for example. But you've got to figure out another way to tally some of these things because, you know, a screen pass, as you well know, you can block downfield and you know, you have to have a well-executed little play there mechanically to run those jet sweeps actually not really jet sweeps because they're run jet
right.
passes.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's really sort of like warped the NCAA record book. I mean, it's not just Ohio State. All the yardage around the country that's made on wide screens, bubble screens, tunnel screens, things like that, which are really glorified run games,
right.
Run plays.
And Ohio State took some solace in the fact when they had that month-long period that they were still getting yards on quasi-runs, you know, the screen passes to Paris Campbell.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be part of your run game
right.
when you spread the field.
Right, but you also need to be able on 3rd and 1, just run the ball up the middle and get 1 or 2 yards. You just have to be able to do that. And that's still something they haven't shown consistently, and they're going to have to do that. I don't know that against Michigan you're going to be able to count on converting 3rd and 1s. You know, we saw against Michigan State, Ohio State tried the little bubble screen to K.J. Hill, and I think it went for -2 yards because they jumped it, and that's what Michigan's going to do.
Yeah. You know, and back to Tate Martell, though, a little bit. I mean, the interesting run in that game that got negated also was when Dwayne Haskins Jr. pulled it down and, I forgot what the gain was, 17 yards, but down to the 3-yard line, and he was, you know, very fired up at the end of that and, you know, throws his hand up first down, as Rob Aller, our columnist, pointed out. He almost broke his hand because he almost hit a Michigan State player on the helmet with it. And then, of course, it got negated by Malcolm Pridgen, hands to the face penalty, which was a 15-yard personal foul. Golly. But the bottom line is I asked him after the game, what did it feel like to have that play negated? And he said, salty.
You salty.
Yeah, he was salty about it. So, but just throwing it, just showing it.
Yes.
Just showing it adds a dimension that a team now has to get ready for because he wasn't running with that much abandon, face it, the last several weeks.
I think he was ticked off that he had been criticized as much as he has, and deservedly so, for his lack of running.
I mean, even NFL quarterbacks have to run sometimes.
He can do it. I mean, yes, he's obviously a pass-first quarterback, but you still have to be able to run the ball when you have to run the ball.
Yeah.
And he showed it last year. That's what we were all kind of deceived, I guess, by the scramble against Michigan. As he explained, they were in man-to-man coverage, so that he could do that.
Right.
But, you know, he did show a little Carvel-ness in that run. In fact, on the replay, when I saw him throw, I thought he actually had thrown a punch. And then I realized, no, he was signaling first down.
He was fired up. You know, that's what running the ball can do for a man. Right. Just ask Mike Weber.
And then you mentioned Martell, and then he came in for another series and handed off. And then there was the very bad snap by Michael Jordan. Went off his hand. You know, he probably should have just fallen on the ball. He tried to pick it up. He should have just fallen on it. It's a learning lesson. But I was – and the other one, he was in there for a third.
He was in there. Ohio State decided to go for it on fourth and one.
And a false start.
A false start penalty. Fourth and one at the Michigan State 35. I mean, it's critical moments in the games.
Right.
We're not talking about going in against Tulane when you're up by 30. So I think we're seeing things evolve here slowly but surely offensively.
I do think, and I think it was needed because what they were doing was just not going to work. You can't succeed in late November with just a passing game and a quarterback that really can't scramble out of the passing game or won't scramble out of the passing game. So the running game now, the defense, again, how much is Michigan State's ineptitude? How much is Ohio State playing well?
At least I think it was a combo. It was definitely a combo.
I think it was.
Ohio State basically determined you're not going to run the ball. They had, you know, their running back, Cameron Hayward's baby brother, had run for 157 at Maryland the week before. I think he had 4 yards on Saturday on, six carries or vice versa. But, you know, Ohio State just shut down the run. Say, beat us throwing was their mantra, and Michigan State could not do that. You know what? We're going to be back late in the week to give a little preview of Ohio State at Maryland, the game before the game. And but until then, this is Tim May.
And Bill Rabinowitz. Thanks for listening.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.